This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. If you love the show, share it with your friends on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcast. We're going to hear from an artist who's been blowing people's minds in multiple mediums since his music debuted in 2006. Rico sat down to speak with him at our studios a few days back, and it sounded like this.
Our guest of honor this week is musician and filmmaker Stephen Ellison, a.k.a. Flying Lotus.
Hey.
A brief resume, he has earned multiple Grammy nominations for his truly brilliant mashups of jazz, electronica, and hip-hop.
And I got beat by Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift.
It sounds like you're over it.
No, I'm still bitter. A little.
Should I tell them
they
about
deserve it, you know?
You also wrote interstitial music for the Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
You appeared on Kendrick Lamar's landmark album, To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
And you have now released what website The Verge calls the grossest movie ever made. It's called Cuso.
Hey.
And sir, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we get into the movie, because there was a lot to talk about there, I should note, casual fans of your music may not know this, you actually did go to film school.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool for a while, LA Film School.
But you dropped out, right?
No, I dropped out of the next school I went to, which was the Academy of Art in San Francisco. I was still studying film there, but I was also getting into making music on a computer, which was kind of foreign
at the time.
Yeah. I started just like skipping class.
What filmmakers were you influenced by? I could give you my guesses.
Well, I was in the prime target for the independent film revolution, you know.
In the 80s and 90s?
The 90s. It was the one Kevin Smith and Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, they all came out with their stuff and they were, you know, freaking people out with their low budget movies. And as well, like using their platforms to shine light on all these obscure films that no one had heard of. And that's how I started getting into, like, you know, some of the more left field filmmakers.
Watching this film, I would have said definitely David Lynch and David Cronenberg.
They're all, yeah. I ate a lot of movies, bro. I ate a lot of movies.
Well, let's talk about the movie, and people may understand why I bring up those particular filmmakers.
You don't have to spoil the movie by doing this, just letting you know.
I feel like I owe it to our audience to tell them what we're dealing with on some level.
Okay.
Should they decide to go see it?
Sure. Yeah. All right.
It's set in a surreal kind of post-apocalyptic world after a major earthquake. There are these multiple nightmarish storylines involving horrors really so extreme that I can't even summarize some of them on a family show.
This is a family show?
It is kind of a family show.
The family.
Well, now it isn't. Now it's for certain members of the family. But all the characters have boils on them. There are a lot of bodily fluids. There's a lot of extremely lowbrow humor.
I didn't realize that I had a thing for fluids. Someone pointed that out. I didn't know it was a thing, though. I guess I did.
Even after watching the movie through, it did not occur to you there's an awful lot of bodily fluids being shooting out of various people?
You know what? I think, though, it's the smells that really do me in, man. A smell, certain smells will just F up my whole night.
Thank you.
Family.
But it's interesting. That's one sense you can't engage with film.
Can't do anything with that, right? It's like, we don't have the smell-o-vision popping off yet, man. I'd be so stoked to mess with smells.
Well, but before we go there, I do also want to note there are moments of real beauty in this movie.
Thank you.
And there is the direction of the performances. It's clear that this isn't just like, you know, grindhouse B-movie schlock.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. You know, it's unfortunate that people had this expectation of it, you know, because of some early reviews and stuff of the movie. They were only talking about how gross it was. They don't ever mention how artful it can be at times, too. So thank you for letting the family know about that.
But that also leads me to a question, which is, you've kind of answered it. That wasn't then your core idea to make the grossest movie ever?
It wasn't my core idea to make the grossest film of all time. It was more like, I'm so tired of everything trying to be nice and clean and friendly and safe and PG-13 or whatever. And I also knew that if I made like a real middle-of-the-road movie for my first movie, no one would give a you know? And I was like, it was that kind of punk rock attitude and kind of like, I'm going to go into the room and beat the biggest person in the room. That was like more of my attitude. You know, it was like, no, you're going to hear me.
I mean, people are paying attention. Is it the attention that you would want?
I don't know yet. You know, I have not had this experience. I never made a movie before. I don't know about getting death threats and stuff. You know, I don't know if that's...
Has that happened?
I don't know. I don't know about it. I don't know. But I know that some filmmakers have gotten death threats and stuff over their films. They've been banned in countries or whatever. I don't know what that's like. You know, I don't know. I mean, I come from music where it's like, if you don't like it, you just skip it. And you're like, eh. But people who don't like movies, they genuinely hate them and they want to talk about how much they hate something. And because I sat there for 2 hours and watched this horrible thing. I'm not used to that. So we'll see what happens. You know, I know that there's an audience for this because I was on, you know, I was that kid who liked the craziest movies, you know, and I want to serve that kid now. You know, I want someone to see this and have to show it to somebody. You know, it's like the cassette in the ring, you know, like you got to see it. You're going to die, but you got to watch it.
Well, like the last line of the movie, actually, which is actually very powerful. Skin me alive. I survived and I can barely believe it. And I wondered if that was as much aimed towards us, the audience. It's like you made it through this movie.
Absolutely. You know, when I was talking to Bus Driver, the guy who made the poem.
Bus Driver is the guy who delivers that line.
Yeah. I really just tried to explain all my anxieties about what I had personally gone through in 94 when I was 10 years old and the big earthquake happened and just terrified me. So, you know, it was he pulled from that and he made this amazing poem that really summarized that feeling and that anxiety.
Is civilization driven by an exact sense of nowhere? Is civilization driven by exact sense of nowhere? A sense of nowhere on Crenshaw and Stalker. Pop lockers channeling energy from a chakra straight from the instilled ancient genius. But it's too late. Death is on your hell.
At the beginning of the movie, the same character says, once you're dead, then you're dead. There's no coming back.
Yeah.
And he says it over and over again. It's like the overture of the film.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got your last album, which was called You're Dead.
Oh, you getting it.
What is it? You are a young, super successful guy. What is your preoccupation with death?
I think that line, it comes from, I mean, I've had a lot of death in my life. People pass away that were really close to me that had a huge effect on me. You know, I lost my parents. I mean, I didn't know my dad, but my mom, she passed away when I was in my 20s, you know. And every time something like that happens, it just rewires my brain and what I think of the world and my place in it and, you know, my responsibilities and, you know, what I'm here to do and say. I guess for everyone, it throws you for a loop.
But it's a very specific way you address it. I mean, obviously you address it with this movie that is extreme in a lot of ways. Including humor. Like, there's a lot of really silly humor in this.
Oh, yeah.
Where does that come from? How does ridiculous juvenile humor fit into it?
Coping. just coping, really. Trying to make the most out of it, make a joke out of it, make sense out of it. I think one of the things that just, in the making of this movie, one of the things that really just hit me is just like, man, people are just so afraid to take a joke lately. Everyone's getting so offended easily, you know, and... You know, you can't say certain things anymore about race and about sex and gender, whatever, you know, like it's just remember, we're just dumbass people, ugly ass people. Like just take a joke, you know.
Particularly if you're covered in boils that are leaking everywhere.
Yeah.
We have two questions that we ask everyone on the show.
Uh-oh.
The first one is, if we were to meet you at a dinner party, what question should we not ask you?
If you meet me at a dinner party, don't ask me what it was like to see everyone walk out of my movie at Sundance. Because that didn't happen. That was not true.
It did not happen?
It did not happen. The premiere was amazing. Everyone stayed and had a great time. There was a press screening. A lot of them walked out, okay?
Really?
Yeah, well, that's the difference. Like, it wasn't for Vanity Fair, okay? It's not for GQ magazine or whatever.
I would definitely agree with you on that.
Right? Okay, and that's fine. But don't say, like, the premiere and all, and the fan, everybody walked. That's like, it's a lie. Journalists aren't everybody.
We're some people.
You guys are people, too, but kind of.
Thank you. It's important to say in this day and age, I think. Our second question is, tell us something we don't know. And this can be about anything. It could be about yourself or it could be a piece of trivia about the world.
You know, they got championship tag now.
Is that true?
That's a real thing. I was looking at it on the way over here, bro. They got world championship chase tag. It's amazing. It's like parkour.
It's like parkour with tag. So there are people like jumping through windows and rolling off of rooftops. This is a video I'm being shown. You're right. It's like guys playing tag through some sort of gymnastic equipment. Oh my God, they're leaping all over the place.
They're amazing.
All right, we're definitely putting this video on our website.
That's a thing. It's a thing. Championship tag.
I will say the audience is not enormous, so this hasn't reached, you know, like soccer stadium
size. It ain't
size.
World championships, that's for sure. This is like Ohio championships right here.
Steve Ellison, a.k.a. Flying Lotus.
Whose great aunt and uncle were John and Alice Coltrane, two legends, by the way.
They were, which may partially explain his musical genius, which you are listening to right now. His debut film is called Cuso. If you've got the guts for it, you can check it out on the streaming service Shudder and in select theaters now.